Well, it is a great honor to introduce to you Ron Kanter. Just curious, how many people have heard Ron speak at some point in the past? Okay, how many of you haven't? Never heard him speak? Okay, well, you're in for a great surprise. Now, I've known Ron since he was a little, no, he wasn't quite that little, but he was littler and younger. Ron, when I went, actually, it was Dave Fritz and I think we were together, we met Ron. Ron was the youth leader at Beth Messiah Messianic Congregation in Rockville, Maryland. And that's when we met Ron back, I think it was back in the mid-'80s.
Late 80s,
yeah. And so since then, you know, I've just kind of watched Ron just go on upwards and onwards over the years. I mean, he went from Beth Messiah. I don't know if I probably won't get half of it, but what I'm aware of, he went from Beth Messiah. Then there was this amazing revival down in Brownsville, Florida. He was part of that. And then he and Mike Brown did this revival school or something, and stuff was happening there for years. Then he started traveling around the world, teaching on Jewish roots and you know, spreading that message. And then about 10 years ago, I think it was, he and his family, 15 years ago, 15? Gosh. 15 years ago, he and his family made Aliyah, and he's married to an Israeli, Sabra, but he and his wife and children made Aliyah because they were living in the States, to Israel. And there Ron immersed himself in Israeli culture. He learned the language, so he's going to preach to us in Hebrew. But actually, he actually preaches now fluently in Hebrew. Come on. That's amazing. And I'll interpret, yes, of course. I'll interpret all three words, yes. So he's in Israel living with his family in Tel Aviv, and he's a leader in a congregation. He's director of Messiah's Mandate. He's a communications director for Tikkun, an international network of Messianic congregations, and about 10 or 15 other things I'm not aware of. So he's a man on the move, and God is blessing him, using him powerfully. And what he's going to share with you this morning about what God is doing, if it doesn't impact you, you're not breathing. Here's Ron. Let's welcome him.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for that mostly correct introduction. I won't correct anything because it doesn't really matter. But we have been living in Israel for 15 years. We just made a video of our just kind of first 15 years reminiscing. If you go to ronkanter.com, which is my name, Ron Kanter, well, .com, is it my name? RonKanter.com. Just scroll down to the About Me. We've got this video there. My daughter did it. Did a really good job. But Israel is amazing. We're blessed that we live there. A lot of people ask me, are you scared? I don't understand that question. You know, when I'm there, people will email me and say, is it safe? And I'm like, I've been here 15 years. It's... You know, now I understand when you're in America, it looks like people are shooting each other in the streets, and that's just not the case. The first thing people say when they come to Israel on our tours is, oh, it's so safe. Right, Andy? It's my friend Andy who has come on two of our tours with us. It's just great. It's life-changing. We just finished up a tour of 94 people, normally that big. Normally it's around 30. But I heard over and over again, this trip has changed my life. This is the best one. It's not a vacation, but somebody said this is the best vacation of my life. So I want to show a quick video about our Israel tours because we do have one coming up in October, and we would love.
And I want to invite you to join.
For you to come. Go ahead.
Join us here to celebrate Israel's 70th birthday, October 11th through the 20th, 2018. It is going to be an amazing time, unforgettable. In fact, just the other day, we ended our last tour, and I heard from more than one person who said, this was the best trip of my life. Others said, I'm changed forever.
Wonderful trip, totally awesome, and life-changing. This country is amazing. Their people are amazing.
We've been to a lot of places in the world. Israel's been fantastic. Ron and the team have just been phenomenal. Yeah. I would highly recommend this trip to anyone who wants to increase their knowledge of culture.
Come to Israel. Yeah. Come with Ron and experience Israel for yourself.
That's right.
You'll be blessed. You will be blessed.
Now, what makes these tours so unique is that Ilana and I have put together a tour that takes you to some of our favorite places, some off-the-beaten-path places that tours don't go. But in addition, you're going to meet the living stones of Israel. Really, 99.9% of tourists to Israel don't connect to the body of believers. Now, I think it's exciting to learn the history. It's amazing to walk where Jesus walked, to be on the Sea of Galilee, to go to Jerusalem. But it's even more amazing to see what God is doing here today. We're going to worship with Israeli believers in Hebrew.
It was something I'll never forget, and it'll be with me the rest of my life.
I have never in my life had a trip like this. This is so amazing. Can't wait to go home and tell everybody.
We tried to go with a lot of other groups. It didn't work. We are so glad that we waited for Ron.
If you're ever like, yeah, that'd be cool to go there one day, no, make it happen. Like, find a way. And God will make that happen. Even if you don't believe in God, which I don't know how you couldn't after this trip.
So go to www.livingstonesisrael.com and make your $100 deposit to save your seat. Can't wait to see you in October. Shalom from Tel Aviv.
Okay, so if that is something you're interested in, we're going to extend that $100 discount to the end of June. But we'd love to have you with us. It will really, it'll change your life. It's amazing. Hallelujah. So I wanted to, I have a message here that really fits with the theme of Pentecost Shavuot, and it's really, I just want to recount the last year of my life, because a lot of really neat things have been happening. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we bless you. We thank you for your anointing and your grace. Give us faith that you can use us. Let us step out of the boat, Lord God, and walk on water. Father, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, let this be a new day of being used by God in Yeshua's name. Amen. I forgot to mention real quickly, I have a book called The Coming End Time Awakening. A pastor said to me 6 months ago, he said, where in the Bible does it promise an end time revival? And I didn't answer him immediately. I went home and wrote a book. It just challenged me that question, and I spent the next week just writing, and I intended it for it just to be a message, but a book came out, and it's free. Do you like free? I like free. It's a free book. So if you would like to get proof that there will be a worldwide end times revival before Yeshua comes back, you can get that free. All you got to do is sign up for our email newsletter. And just do me one, I'll let you just pass this around. Just do me one favor. Can you do that? One favor? Print clearly. Everybody say that with me. Print clearly. That means no cursive. Email addresses. You get one thing wrong, you'll never get that book. Somebody else might. I wonder how many people have. Okay. Free pen. That would be great. I'm believing God for pens. Pens are coming. I don't use pens anymore. I can't even write anymore. When people give me, I go to hotels to check in. They say, fill this out. My hand, because everything I do is on the phone or computer. I just don't write anymore. Okay. So God is moving in Israel. And Israel is a timepiece. It's the word Zion, and Zion is another word for Israel, for Jerusalem. It means signpost. And if you want to know where we are in world events, all you got to do is look at Israel. Israel has been restored as a nation. When people say to me, I don't believe in God, I just say Israel. There is no way that Israel could be a nation if God were not real. Because there is no example in history of a people being separated from their geographical homeland for more than one or two, maybe three generations, and remaining an identifiable people group. And yet somehow God watched over the Jewish people for 2,000 years. And at the right time, he fulfilled his word, where he said, I will bring you back into your own land. And once you're there, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I'm going to take away your heart of stone. So he promised a physical restoration of the land, but also a spiritual revival. And it's happening, not like it's going to happen, but we're in the beginning. And Fred is proof of that. I'm proof of that. Others of you are Jewish. We're proof of that. God is opening up the eyes of Jewish people once again, just like he did in the first century. Now, in Israel today, we're seeing a move of evangelism that I don't think we've seen since the modern rebirth of the nation. And it began about a year and a half ago with two guys in our congregation. I wish I could tell you it was me. I am an evangelist, you know, and I should be telling you it's me, but it wasn't me, you know, or other seasoned evangelists in the land. It was just two young believers who began to watch a guy named Todd White on YouTube. Now, I am the regional director for God TV in Israel, which is a international Christian TV network station, whatever. I don't watch Christian television. I have a show on God TV, and I just don't, I don't know who has time for it. Anyways, but apparently, I'm not a good spokesman for my, but apparently they had found this guy who I didn't know who he was, and he's got dreadlocks and shares the gospel and walks up to people and sees that you're sick and says, can I pray for you? And then you get healed, and he tells you about your mom, and you start crying, and then you get saved. And so they said, well, maybe we can do that in Tel Aviv. So the two of them just went out and they began to pray for sick people. They just asked people, is there any pain in your body right now? And, well, yeah, my knee or my back or this. And they would pray and people started getting healed immediately. And they came back to the congregation and they began to testify, to tell us what God was doing. And then about 20 people went out with them. And still, being the amazing, powerful man of God evangelist that I am, it just didn't, I don't know why, it didn't, I wasn't with the program. But about 8 months go by, 6 months go by, and one of them called me up and they said, we heard that Todd White is coming to Israel on a tour and he's not speaking to us. What's up with that? That is how an Israeli asks if he can speak. Well, I don't know this Todd fellow. I recall that when I just go to YouTube, I would see a guy with dreadlocks, but I wasn't familiar with him. So I began to watch some videos and I was intrigued. And because of my connections with God TV, we were able to get a hold of his ministry and they agreed to do a meeting for local Israeli believers. You understand that there is a expression of the body of Jesus in Israel today that is living and growing and excited. Amen. Israel is not a museum of dead artifacts. Israel is where God is moving today and Jewish people are coming to faith. And so we, with no time to spare, we put together a venue and about 300 local Israeli believers showed up. Now that is like a mega church experience in the U.S. And it was just an amazing time of equipping, of encouragement, of then sending these people out. And now the first thing I did was, you know, just getting Todd, somebody who's familiar with Todd White. Okay, so he's different, right? So just getting him from I'd never met him, but just getting him out of the hotel into the van, that took more faith than I'm used to using because he is praying for everybody constantly where, you know, hey, let me use the restroom real quick. Oh, that's fine, no problem. But no praying for people. But then he's praying for these two Arab co-workers and then they both get healed of back problems. Then he tells this guy what God's called him to do. He's like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And then somehow we got in the van, and as soon as we got in the van, I said, all right, dude, put your hands on me right now and just pray, because something needs to change inside of me, because I'm not doing that, and I should be doing that. Not that I didn't witness, not that I didn't share my testimony or share the gospel, but I wasn't doing that in that type of faith. And so he laid hands on me, prayed for me, and then later that night after the message, by the way, my assistant, she has migraine headaches every single day at 1:30. She had to be home. She was part-time. She had to be home in bed by 1:30 when this migraine would hit. And she's so shy. But right as we're getting in the van to leave, she asked Todd to pray for her. Took a lot of energy for her to do that. That was a year ago. No more migraines. But as we're leaving, We find out that Todd's wife is in the hospital. She had an allergic reaction to the bed sheets or the detergent or something, and she had hives all over her body. They took her to a local emergency clinic, and so we went straight there. By the time we got home, it was 3 a.m., and but we had a lot of time to hang out, to talk, to connect as his wife was being taken care of. And then the next morning, he called me up. And he said, hey, we missed our bus, the tour bus. He said, can you hang out with us? So I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. I met him in Jerusalem. We started going around, and we're just praying for people. And he walks up to this one group of young people, like 12, 13 years old. Now, it's illegal for me as an Israeli to share the gospel with someone under 18. You cannot persuade somebody under 18 to change their religion. Of course, they're not changing their religion. They're finding the Messiah, but they don't know that. So so we're very careful. If we have youth events, you have to bring a signed form. It literally, you can. We've had newspaper exposés, and so we're very, very careful about this. So as he starts praying for, it's like 20 of them. And you can see the video. It's online somewhere. They're getting healed. It starts with one guy. He walks by, has a brace on. He prays for him. Then his friends want prayer. And the parents are there too, which I'm happy about, because they're approving it. And the chaperones are there. And they're all clapping. And he's getting these kids. These are Jewish Israeli kids, right? Okay. Now here's what we're going to do. You kid, pray for your friend here. Everybody say after me, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I'm just over in the corner. But I got jealous watching that. And I was in Jerusalem all week for a conference, and I went back to my hotel, and I walked into the room, and there was a guy named Mahmoud, who you might guess is Muslim. And he's in my room cleaning it, and I said, Mahmoud, do you have any pain in your body? He said, yes, my knee hurts. I said, I'm going to pray for you in the name of Yeshua, and let's see what happens. We pray for him. He gets completely healed. He's amazed. The next day, he comes in to clean the room, and he says to my wife, where is your husband? I have to thank him. And then I said, Mahmoud, you got to deal with Jesus healed your leg. You got to believe in Jesus now. He's like, I know, but I'm Muslim. And I'm like, but your knee, you know, Muhammad didn't do that. And so the next day, another guy got healed. And then there was a fellow named Rafa from Abu Ghosh, the only Arab village in Israel that stood with Israel in the War of Independence. And Rafa had a knee brace on. So this was serious. It wasn't just I got a little pain, it's raining. It was my knees messed up. We prayed for him. He gets healed. And I came back 6 months later to that same hotel. And as soon as I saw him, he hugged me. He was so excited. Muslim guy. And he's showing me that he doesn't wear the knee brace anymore. The next day, this is all in the same hotel. The next day, I wake up and I go to breakfast. And I'm sorry, the next day, I'm in the hallway and there's a Sudanese refugee. We have a lot of Sudanese refugees in Israel. And I started talking to him, and he said he was in tremendous back pain. He had a tolofe doctor's appointment. He said, I can hardly do my job. Can we pray? We pray for him. God heals him. He starts doing things he couldn't do before. He's testifying on video how God healed him. We have the video online somewhere. And then on the last day there, this Israeli girl, little Jewish girl, the front desk manager, Metal, and I said to her, Metal, I got to go get my car. Can you watch my bags real quick? And she said, wait. I said, what? She said, can you heal people? I said, what are you talking about? She said, all the workers here say that you can heal people. And I, of course, said, no, I can't heal anyone. But Yeshua can heal. What is your problem? We prayed for her ailment. She got healed immediately. I have a book called Identity Theft. I know some of you have read it I know some of you have bought it. I don't know if you read it. But we raised funds to translate that to Hebrew, gave her a copy of it. We now give those away free as an evangelistic tool in Israel. And it was just different. Everything was different. I was so excited. And I began to seek the Lord after that. I had just finished about 6 months of intense filming. We have a show called Out of Zion where we go all over Israel. And, you know, when you're filming in a room like this and you can control everything, it's really easy. When you're outside and there's planes and cars and dogs barking and little brat kids crying, you know, it's exhausting. And we just finished 6 months and I was done. I don't know if I can ever do this again, but I need to seek God. And I just cleared my schedule and began to fast and pray and say, God, I want more. I want word of knowledge. You see, there was a time in my life where I wanted the gifts of the Spirit to be prophetic, but there was a mixture in my motives. Part of it is I wanted to be cool. I wanted to say, your name's Nancy. Is your name Nancy?
No.
I wanted to be able to do that. Say, your name is... No. I wanted to be able to do that. And hey, that's look at that. I'm 20 years old, 22 years old. But now I'm crying out to God. God, I don't care about any of that. I want you to use me so we can see people saved. God, you've got to, Lord, you've got to do this because they need Yeshua and they don't believe. We need a sign. Bible says that the Jews seek a sign. So we began to seek the Lord and began to see more healings. We went to the Czech Republic for a conference called Awaken Europe. I don't like conferences either. I don't like Christian TV. I like God. I like to worship at home by myself and read the Bible and pray. And conferences are okay, I guess. I just came from one this weekend. But we went to this Awaken. I felt that we were supposed to be there. My wife felt we were supposed to be there. Our company, God TV, was filming it. So we went, and the presence of God was so strong. By the way, on the way, and I'm trying to hear from God. I'm trying. I'm still working on this, you know. And I just, you know, sometimes you just got to try, you know. Use a little wisdom in how you try, you know. But I said, Lord, what's the story? What's his name? I kind of heard a word, Gabriella. So she walks by and I say, does the word name Gabriella mean anything to you? And she said, no. And I said, can I have some coffee? But right after that, just, you know, God can use you in a million different ways. Because right after I took that step of faith and failed, a guy walks by me. Amen, I failed, that's right. Guy walks by me. And he sits down and he is sick. He is really sick. And the stewardesses, they don't like him because he's hungover sick. And he's saying he's going to be sick. And they're like, all right, sit there. So they put him in front of me. And I went and sat next to him, just kind of on the armrest. And I began to share with him, can I pray for you? Why? Well, you're sick. I know. I said, well, God can heal you. No, he can't. I said, well, I pray for people all the time and they get healed. And you want to try? Okay. So I take his hand, pray for him in Hebrew. The whole conversation was in Hebrew. Pray for him to get healed. And I said, well, what do you feel? He said, I feel love. I feel love coming from you. He said, these women, these stewardesses, they flight attendants, they hate me, you know, but you came over here and you loved me. You cared for me. You prayed for me. And now I feel great. We land, we get off the plane, told them about the Lord. We get off the plane and we go to this conference. The presence of God is so strong. And on Saturday afternoon, at the end of this conference, I walked out of there in a daze. Remember when Peter said what? You quoted that. We are not as you suppose. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He said, we're not drunk like you. It's not wine. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's how I felt. I was just in a daze after worshiping. And I walked back to the hotel. I really didn't know where I was going. I mean, I knew sort of, but I had no plan. And I walk into this restaurant that's part of the hotel. And it's packed with people. And I walk up to the counter. And there's a guy in front of me. And somebody told me that one of the chefs in the lower restaurant was Israeli. So I just walk. There he is in front of me. I said, you're the Israeli guy. And I just began to share with him about the Lord. And I said, can I pray for you? I walked behind the counter, laid hands on him. The presence of God touched him deeply. That night we had dinner there. He left his cooking whatever they do, chefing. And he came and sat down with me and Ilana to hear the gospel. Emailed me the next day and he said, Ron, I have more hope than I've had in years. He shared a very sorrowful story. And then we came to America and we landed here on the 4th of July. And we were going to go straight to my parents for a cookout. And somebody calls me and says, Ron, your dentist, who's also one of my really close friends, Dr. Rob Cox, he's been out on his back for a week. Now, if you know Rob, he is one of the most godly, giving, joyful human beings you ever met. I walk into his home and he's like Nick, he's on the ground and he cannot move. And he's not happy and he's not joyful. And somebody told him that I was going to pray for him. He was going to be healed. Sometimes it's easier to pray for unbelievers, you know, than it is. Listen, you want a little advice? Because some of you are saying, well, I'll pray for people, but they won't be healed. When was the last time you prayed for an unbeliever?
A couple weeks ago.
Come on. Because most of us, what we do is we, you know, James 5, call for the elders in the church and they pray for the sick. But how often do you see somebody who is clearly physically not feeling well, an unbeliever, and say, can I pray for you? You will be amazed. Just trust me. It'll work. It will work. Do you know why it will work? Because God is alive. And because Yeshua said, the works that I do, you will do. And even greater works than these will you do because I'm going to my Father. Which means the Holy Spirit is poured out on all who want Him. You can walk in the power of God. You just have to step out of the boat. You say, well, Peter fell in the water. Peter walked on water.
Amen.
I know he got a little messed up later and went in and, you know, had to get rescued. He walked. You know who didn't walk on the water? Every one of those other disciples in the boat. Never, ever walked. Peter can say, all right, 10 steps, but I did it. Just take a leap. And Ron, what if they don't get healed, Nancy? What if they don't get healed? If you pray for an unbeliever and they don't get healed, Nancy, I never miss it. It's going to be twin boys. Nan and C. What happened? You pray for somebody, and let's just say nothing happens. You know what they're going to look at you and say? I knew your God wasn't real. I knew this was all fake. Get away. No. They're going to say, thank you. I've prayed for so many unbelievers who weren't healed that then hugged me.
Yeah.
They were just like, "What? You prayed for me. Why? Who does that?" And we have seen that. And then but more than often, we see them get healed. So this guy, Rob, is on his back and I am not feeling faith, but I have him stand up and I say, come on, can you stand just barely? And I know what it's like. I've had debilitating back pain where you couldn't stand. And we pray for him, and I just asked, did you feel anything? And he said, well, just a weird twinge in my back, but I'm still in horrible pain. And I was like, "Ugh." So we pray again, and then another time, and then I'm thinking, okay, I got to go to a cookout and get out of here and, you know, keep sending your support. And so we left, and I went to preach in Harrisonburg, yeah, that's the one. Not the one in Virginia. Harrisonburg. And I wake up at 5 a.m. jet lag the next morning because I just got off the plane the day before. And there's an email from Rob Cox. And it says, I am healed. Hallelujah. So he said, call me when you wake up. So I called him up and he said, Ron, 4 hours after you left, I felt something click in my back. And then over a period of 20 minutes, all the pain left. He had been on his back for a week. He went to work the next day, and he's telling everybody, Jesus healed me. He told my mother, he is the dentist of my mother as well. And he told my mother, Jesus healed me. And then people begin to call us up, this family out in, we have a county called Goochland in Virginia. Who's ever heard of Goochland? It sounds normal if you're from Virginia. But if you're not, it sounds really weird, the land of gooches. So We go out to Goochland, and we go to this family's house. They live in this big estate, and my wife is very prophetic. I'm still crying out to God. But Ilana, it's like text messages. She can walk down a row of people, and she just see it's like little bubbles popping up. And she says, as soon as we walk in, don't tell us what we're praying for, because they had said there was a sickness. We didn't know what it was. We walk in, we sit down, we talk. Hi, how are you? And then Ilana says, it's your eyes, right? And she said, yeah, I have some type of cancer. And I don't even know how to describe it. Something with an O. So, all right, that works. Optic nerve. Thank you. It was the optic nerve. And she was in tremendous pain. So we prayed for her. And we never knew what happened. I just assumed nothing happened. And like literally months later, like 6 months later, we see this woman. We're back in the States ministering. And Rob invites us over for dinner. And her and her husband are there. And she's saying, yeah, that night you prayed for me. All the pain left. I had no pain after that. And I was like, you couldn't have sent an email? You know, but praise God. So he's working. It's time to reach out. And so, through this thing, we developed a friendship with Todd White and his ministry. And I said, can I get you guys to come back to Israel and do extensive training with young believers? Because we've got all these young people that want to do the stuff. And I said, so we scheduled what's called a Power in Love conference just this March. And it was in Jerusalem. We had over 300 Israeli local believers that came, Arabs and Jews, young people and old people. And we had not only Todd, but a guy by the name of Robbie Dawkins. And if you don't know who he is, Google him. This guy has got the goods. If you want to get equipped for supernatural signs and wonders evangelism, really neat guy, Robbie Dawkins. Goes to Afghanistan, preaches to Muslims. I mean, he's just fearless, wonderful guy. And the two of them, and plus Tom Rotolo, who worked with their ministry, 3 days of equipping. But after each session, we would go out on the streets. And I was so worried, friends. I was worried because who saw the video of Michael Brown in Jerusalem the past week? Anybody see that video where you saw it? So you can see how angry and violent, not physically violent, but still a little scary the Orthodox Jews can be. And they're cursing the Lord and this. And that's normal if you're going to go in Jerusalem. I live in Tel Aviv and preach to Orthodox Jews. And I'd seen that at a conference just a few months before where they heard there was going to be and it wasn't even an evangelism conference. It was just Christians from around the world. It wasn't even touching Israel. It just happened to be in Jerusalem. But somehow they thought it was, you know, we're going to be converting Jews. And they show up in force and they're shouting and they're screaming. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to do this in Jerusalem. I told Todd, I said, let's do it in Tel Aviv. It'll be a lot better. But he just felt it was supposed to be in Jerusalem. And we kept it under the radar. Here's what I didn't realize is that my least fear needed to be unbelieving Jewish people. It was believers that came against me. 5 days before the conference, everybody signed up. Some brilliant guy begins to send out stuff publicly that Todd is a heretic. He doesn't believe in the Trinity. Doesn't believe that Yeshua is God. It was all baloney. He's a Catholic. He's this. He's that. It was a dossier of false information with 5 days to go. And now I was leading a tour at the time, and I suddenly see all this stuff, and my heart sank. And how do we deal with it? So we dealt with it, thank God. But I found it so interesting. You see it in the New Covenant. It is the religious people. It is the people that are supposed to be with you that end up resisting you. You know, down at the Brownsville Revival, it wasn't the unbelievers criticizing it. It was believers that were all there not preaching. Well, have you been there? They do weird stuff. Oh, well, people are getting saved. You know, maybe you might want to come. So, but we got hammered. I couldn't believe it. And I wrote this guy and I said, do you even understand how irresponsible what you did was? Maybe you're right. And because I am a man of integrity, I'm going to investigate every one of these claims before Todd White gets here. I said, but if you're wrong, with 5 days to go without even picking up the phone to call me up, you are spreading gossip. And you got to live with that. Well, we got to warn the... No. There's a way. There's an order. And the first thing is you pick up the phone and you call me up and you say, Ron, I have concerns and I would have taken them seriously. We did take them seriously and everything was answered. Everything was fine. But still, certain leaders backed out of fear. But still, it was great. We had over 300 on the streets of Jerusalem. Rabbis, they were not my problems. It was other believers. But on the streets, we began to see healings. There was probably 15 professions of faith, which in Jerusalem is huge. That would be like 150 here. There were dozens of healings, instant healings. And I'll tell you two testimonies. One guy named Dave Charette, he'd been in Israel for 25 years. Doesn't share the gospel because he was scared that he might lose business. He's a businessman. And he didn't want to cause any trouble. And he finally said, I'm sick of that. I am a believer. I have to share. So we'd go out in teams. He took his team out to where he was with one of his clients, a guy named Bashar, an Arab who owns a restaurant in Jerusalem, and begins to share with him. And Bashar's in tremendous back pain. Long story short, they pray for him. He gets instantly healed. He gets healed. And then he starts calling over all of his coworkers and saying, or employees rather, and saying, let these guys pray for you. And they all start getting healed and they hear the gospel. And the Dave Charette comes back and he is on fire. He said, for 25 years, I've wasted my time. He said, but I'll never go back. I just heard from him. Now, that was in March. So that's been, what, 2 months, 3 months? And he's still on fire. You know, he's still witnessing wherever he goes. Another girl, they brought 60 people over with them as part of their team to help train. And this girl, she prays for this Orthodox Jewish woman who gets healed. But she doesn't want to get saved because how can she believe in Jesus? We're taught you can't do that. She's Orthodox. And then she says, is something... What, and she begins to talk about her daughter-in-law. And how did you know that? Well, God just showed me that. And so they prayed, and I can't believe in this stuff. And she said, well, what about your grandson? He has this thing. I'm making these things up now, but it was things like that. And she kept getting words of knowledge about the woman until she finally said, I want this. I need this. And she prayed to receive the Lord. So God is moving in Israel. Here's the funny things. Whenever I share on this at the end, I'm not expecting this, but suddenly people start asking me to pray for their sicknesses. And I wonder if, did you not hear anything I just said? I am not preaching this message to say that I can heal the sick. I am preaching this message to say that we can heal the sick. Amen. That every one of us has the Spirit of God inside of us. It's not that I'm some great healing evangelist suddenly. I'm just a believer who got hungry for God and got tired of being lazy and began to open my eyes. Because most of us, what we do, and I live that way for a long time, is we wake up in the morning and we forget who we are. We lose our identity as on fire, spirit-filled believers in Yeshua. You see, when you go to work, you need to tell yourself before you get there, I am spirit filled. I have the eternal gospel. I am a lifesaver. I have got, these people are drowning and I have what they need. I am light. I am salt. That is who I am. And when you go into work, that's your mentality. It doesn't mean you got to wear a sandwich board and preach to everybody that you see. It means that you are ready. You are ready because God is going to send people across. I forgot to tell you this one story. I was driving in the midst of all this. I was in Colorado. A friend had invited me there to go fishing, fly fishing. And I declined it because, number one, I'm ADHD and don't put me in a boat for 6 hours. And number two, I just seemed like a lot of wasted money. But then we got an invitation to preach in Denver right around that same time. And I thought, maybe I'm supposed to go hang out with this guy. So we go fly fishing. It turned out to be awesome. Really a lot of fun. It was fun. Caught trout. Amazing. And we get in the car to drive. Now we're going to go to Aspen for 2 days because we had a 2-day break. And I thought, you know what? I'm here. I'm with my wife. Let's just have fun. And we found a really cheap $700 a night hotel on hotwire.com for about $150 a night. And so I'm feeling pretty good about it. And we're going to have a great time, me and my wife. And anybody ever been to Aspen? It's not real. I mean, there's more plastic in that city, and I don't mean credit cards. I mean human faces. It's a different place. It's like L.A. in Colorado. But we get to Aspen, and I said, Ilana, whose keys are these? You see, the problem with these stupid new cars is that you don't need to stick the key in the ignition. You just have to have it in the car. So when I grabbed the keys of the people we were with fishing and just threw them in the, you know, wherever and started the car, I didn't realize that my actual keys were already in the car. So now I have their keys, the only because it's a rental. They have no other keys. And now I'm thinking, now this is going to help you. Because we can, when things like this happen to us, we begin to think about how God must be mad at us. God is punishing me for going to Aspen. Now, anybody who knows me knows that we do not live a lavish lifestyle. We thank God that whenever we get to go to preach somewhere, maybe we can add a day or two on and enjoy wherever we are. That's what we were doing. But you know how the enemy works. The enemy's greatest trick is to convince you God does not like you. He's disappointed. And that's what I felt. I woke up the next morning and God is punishing me for going to Aspen. And I get in the car and I'm angry, I'm mad. And I just said, Lord, why would you do this? And he spoke to me and he said, because I missed you and I wanted some time alone with you. Because, you see, after the whole Todd White thing in June, I spent like 2 weeks just every day going after God. It just pushed everything. And then I got busy. I was in preaching and traveling. And then you don't have as much time. And he said, I just wanted to hang out with you. And I started crying. I had the best 4 hours of my life. And if you've ever been to Independence Pass in Colorado, it's like Lord of the Rings. I was like in my own little movie, and God was there with me speaking. He was giving me words. I was literally recording prophecies for friends of mine. And I get halfway there, give the people their key, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what's happening. I got to get back. God's in the car. Get in the car. So I start driving back, and I stop at a Starbucks, and I'm going through the thing through, yeah, thank you, drive through. What would I do without you? Through, through the drive through, and I said, Lord, give me a word for this girl. Let me, something, give me something. And nothing's happening. You know, they say you have to be more. But I don't know, she's not working, nothing's working. And I said, fine, I'll do it myself. And I get to the front. And I said to her, have you ever wondered how much God loves you? And she said, yeah, I think. I said, well, he loves you a lot. Do you want to feel his presence right now? Okay, give me your hand in the drive-thru. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this girl. Show her how much you love her. Show how much you care for her. And I let go of her hand and she goes, wow, you've made my day. And I said, I don't want to make your day. I want to make your life. I want you to go home and I want you to read the New Testament, start the book of John, and gone. But that's fun. That's a fun way to really, you're just ready. But you see, the only way that works is if you wake up every day knowing this is what you're called to do. Now, some of you are saying, I can hear it right now. You're saying, I'm not an evangelist. I did get that right, that's what they're thinking, but it's not correct. You see, there are three levels of evangelism. There's an evangelist with a big E, we'll call that, which is an equipping evangelist, a Billy Graham, a Reinhard Bonnke, where not only do they preach the gospel, but they inspire you to preach the gospel. Then there's people with that gift of encouragement, of exhortation in Romans 12, which is maybe he's not in full-time ministry, but he loves to share the gospel. That's just, he's motivated to share the gospel. And then there's the rest of us who are also called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Maybe it's not your primary thing, but it is primary for every believer to be ready to share the gospel. Somebody said to me once, I don't do evangelism, I intercede. No, intercede and do evangelism. Now, maybe you're not an intercessor. You know, there's some guy who prays 8 hours a day. Maybe you pray for a half hour. But you pray. You don't say, I evangelize, I don't pray. I read the word, I don't pray. I pray, I don't read the word. No, you do. So I want to pray for you today. And I will pray for your healing if somebody is in need of physical healing. But I want you to know that you can do this. You've been doing it. Thank God. I mean, just hearing the testimonies from you guys out on the streets, it's wonderful. Keep doing it. Go out with them. But not just when you go out. The going out is more like training to remind you who you are. It's the real stuff happens during the week. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you for this wonderful time together. I bless New Heritage, oh God, and I pray that you would infuse them with a spirit of evangelism, oh God. Not pressure-oriented evangelism. Can I just say this real quick? I have been around evangelists that they just witness to everything that moves, and that's okay. I mean, good. But there's always pressure connected to it. The waitress, the cook, the pressure, it's a battle. Dave and I have a mutual friend that when I first met him, he would roll down the window and scream at people, Jesus loves you! And I would say, what does that do? You know? And it's pressure. What I saw in Todd, what I really respected about him and became jealous of, is that he was just loving people. He was just loving people. There was no pressure. It was just like, hey, man, how you doing today? What's going on in your body? What's going on with your shoulder? I just felt this pain in my shoulder. Maybe you got a pain in your, oh, yeah, I do. And what's up with your, you're getting ready to marry this guy, and he's, like, beating you. Are you with me? It's all coming from love. Not, I want to be a great evangelist. Love. So let's pray again. Stand to your feet, please. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I want you just to get in that receptive mode. Father, we thank you for a fresh wind, for Pentecost, for Shavuot, a fresh wind, a fresh anointing to see the sick healed, prophetic anointing. Lord God, we pray for words of knowledge, words of wisdom to be released in this place in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Now, Father, I pray right now for anyone who is sick in their body. Just think about where that pain might be right now. Father God, we come against the spirit of infirmity in Yeshua's name, and we command it to leave. We come against all sickness and disease and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Father, we command bodies right now in the name of Yeshua to be made whole. Even as our spirits have been made whole, make our bodies whole, Father. In the name of Yeshua, we come against cancer. We come against back pain. We come against knee pain. Father, we come against shoulder and neck pain, Father. In the name of Yeshua, wherever there's been nerve damage, where there's been spinal damage, Father, we just speak healing right now to bodies, Father. Where there's been chronic pain issues, go in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'll just ask, is there anyone here that just check and see if that pain is gone? Is there anyone here where the pain is gone? You had pain and there is no pain anymore.
I had pain.
Hallelujah. Anyone, just raise your hand real quick. One. What is it?
Knee.
And not there anymore? Knee and back. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Yep.
And this morning is really painful. And then after that prayer, I just like, Lord, let him mention shoulder and neck pain.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, something simple like that, we prayed a little prayer, people getting it. Go on the streets. at work, wherever you are, there are people who need it. And what happens is it opens them up to the gospel. As much as I love your neck and your shoulder and your back and your knee, it's the souls of men that we're going for. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I want to say this last thing. Is that like the 10th time I've said that? This is really the last thing. Is when you pray for an unbeliever, even if they're not sick, just say, can I pray for you that God will bless you? You never know what's going to happen. I once prayed for a drunk young adult at Port Jefferson, New York on Long Island. And I said, you're going to be sober after I pray for you. I didn't believe it when I said it, but I thought, he's drunk. What does it matter? But I laid hands on him. I prayed for him and he flipped out as he was completely sober. You never know what's going to happen. It's in you. It's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. So, Lord, we thank you right now. We're gonna use this message this week, oh God. And next week and the week after, we're going to fan the flame. We're not going to become lazy, oh God, but we're going to keep fanning the flame in Yeshua's name. God wants to use you more than you want to be used. Amen.
You know, just to confirm what he's saying, some of you know this, but you know, one of the reasons I'm here today is because when I was in D.C. protesting the Vietnam War, these Christians came up to me and started talking to me, and they asked me how I felt. And I had tonsillitis, and I was scheduled to get my tonsils taken out, and they said, can we pray for you? And, you know, I said, yeah, okay. And they prayed for me, and I still have my tonsils. But the thing is that, you know, so what I realized I never thought before is that when they said that, it's like, I'm an unbeliever. I mean, I couldn't be more pagan. But when they said that to me, though I didn't understand it, faith came. Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand in my head the faith came, but faith came. Wow. So just think about it. When you pray for somebody who doesn't believe, faith is going to come to them. Amen. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Fred.